He's good, right? He's good. It's wonderful to be in his presence. It's wonderful to hear his voice. It's wonderful to be, it's just wonderful to be like in a moment like this. And I wish, you know, you can have moments like this, like when you're at home alone or in your car or whatever, you can have moments like this, but I don't know, there's something about all of us together, like singing and all of us together, our hearts sort of combining to reach out to God's heart, and it just is, it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful to be in his presence with all of you. It's wonderful to be here with all of you and to love him together. All right. Now let's try to grow together. All right. So, since I started, I feel like I say this every week, we have been talking about, we've been marveling at our salvation. And we've talked about benefit after benefit after benefit. And so, you know, just like a job, when you sign on, you know, you get your 401k, you get your insurance, you get your whatever. When you sign on with Jesus, then you get benefits, right? And so we've been talking about the benefits of our salvation for a long time. Okay, so now we are talking about, we're moving into prayer. And a prayer is probably the simplest thing that we make hard, right? I mean, it's this easy thing, but we make it hard. We make it like it's got to be this big deal or whatever. So let me just lay this out here for you. So prayer is just sort of letting your heart commune with the Lord's heart, right? It doesn't have to be big words. It doesn't have to be like special set aside time in your life. It doesn't have to be, it can happen in any moment of your life. It's just a matter of sort of tuning your heart to God's heart. Okay, so in this room this morning, how many of you are familiar with K-Love? K-Love? You know K-Love? Okay. All right. It's a radio station here in town. In this room this morning, their radio waves are here. They're in this room. We can't see them. We can't feel them. We can't touch them. But they're here. TV 18. Their TV waves are in this room right now. Okay. So, but we don't have a radio in here to tune to K-Love or a TV to tune to TV 18. But if we did, you guys understand how this works. You know, you dial it into the certain position on the Hertz knob or whatever, and then it comes around. Our hearts are the same way when it comes to God. All right. So, like, what's the bottom radio number? Probably like 89, 88, 8, something. Nobody knows because nobody ever goes down there, right? The top one is 107.9. I'm almost confident that that's the top one, but the bottom one is going to be like 88 something. And so here's the way I picture it, right? When it comes to communing with God, we just have to tune our heart to the right station. But here's the thing. I really believe God's on all of them because we feel like we're at 107.9 or whatever, and God is at 109.20, right? That's not, God's on your channel. He's on your channel. If you know Jesus, if you love him, if you're committed to him, if you're in salvation, if you've accepted his gift, then he's on all of your channels. It's just a matter of getting your radio out and focusing it on the right thing, okay? And we spend a lot of time focused on the wrong thing. That's our whole lives. We spend wasting looking at the problem, wasting looking at, you know, our screens, our TV shows, our movies, our whatever. Like, just the world just so, it just overwhelms. It's like a tidal wave of garbage always coming our direction. And we're tuned into that a lot. But prayer is breaking through all of that and focusing our attention on the Lord. It's not a physical thing, but it almost, for me at least, it almost feels like a physical thing. Like I just have to shift my focus to him. You guys ever be reading and you're like, you've read like a page and a half, and then you realize, I didn't read any of that. And you have to go back and reread it because your mind was totally somewhere else other than the book, right? That's particularly happens when it's some book that you don't really want to read, like a school book or whatever. There's something you didn't want to read. That's how we get. Like, okay, so in my prayer life, right, like I pray in this room a lot. And, for example, this happened to me this week. I'm praying about Sunday school because we're starting Sunday school next week. Speaking of, here's an announcement I didn't say. Last week, next week, when we start Sunday school at 9 a.m., I want everybody in this room at 9 a.m. So you're not going to go to a Sunday school class. You're going to come to this room. And then from here, what I would like to do is pray for a Sunday school class, and then you guys go. And then pray for a Sunday school class, and you guys go. And pray for, anyway. So next week, 9 a.m. in this room. And actually, the Sunday school teachers don't even know what rooms they're in. I've got all that worked out, and I'll need to tell you that has nothing to do with this message. And that's exactly what happened to me this week, okay? Okay, so I'm praying for Sunday school, and then I start thinking about, and it happens so seamlessly. I don't even know, like, where it comes from. I start counting chairs. Okay, so Shannon's got 25. I need 25 chairs in this room. I need 12 chairs in this room. I like to walk laps when I pray. And so I'm walking laps, and you know, by Miss Kathy here, I'm praying. By the time I get to John, now I'm counting chairs. And I get all the way back around again, and then I realize, wait a minute. I'm not praying at all. Now I'm thinking about chairs. And this is, that's how our lives are. That's how we are. We can stay focused for a minute, and then we drift and we drift and we, and then you got to bring it back, and you drift and you drift, and then you got to bring it back. But I think that's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, always be praying. Because I don't think it's, because if we were to always be praying, you know, like the essential, what people think about when you pray is eyes closed, head bowed, hands together, you know, all these things to make you be still. But you can't live that way because you got to go to work, right? You can't live that way because you got to you got to feed your kids, you got to feed yourself or whatever. And so we can't live always still and perfect. We can't live that way, but our hearts can always be connected to the Lord. I think that's what it means there. I think that's what that means, is never stop praying. I think it means don't break your concentration from who he is. Now, look, don't get me wrong. This takes work, right? I've been praying now for whatever. If I'm 40, how old am I? 47? So 37 years I've been a Christian, although probably 12 of those or so I took off. I wasn't a Christian. I took those years off. But I've been praying for however long that is. And still, it's something I still have to work at. I still have to work at focus. I still have to work at praying, at concentrating. I still have to work on this stuff. But my heart can always be connected to his heart. It can work that way. Okay. Now, before we go too far into prayer, I want to talk about some things that prayer is not. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that you will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Okay, when you pray. So here's something that's not prayer. Prayer is not standing up on a street corner and praying so other people can see you. That's not prayer. That's showing off. Okay, now, we don't do this in the same way. Like they used to have, I believe when they were fasting and stuff, they used to have people following, like the really spiritual people would have people following them. This man is, get out of his way, and he's fasting and he's praying. And so anyway, we don't do that, but here's what we do. And this is more in the South than it is here, but humans are humans. So it happens here. Here's what happens. You're called on to pray in your Sunday school class. You're called on to pray in front of a group of people. And then all of a sudden, you turn into somebody else. you're not you anymore. Now you've turned into, you know, old English Holy Bob, who's going to pray with a deep voice and pray, you know, these big words and all this other stuff. That is show-off prayer. It's not prayer, right? So if you have to change who you are to talk to the Lord, then it's not prayer. You need to keep being you. When I talk to the Lord, I mean, obviously, I speak to him with reverence. I was like, hey, what's up, dog? Like, it's not like that. But when I pray, I talk like I'm talking to my dad, or I talk like I'm talking to a friend. You know, God, I really messed up here, Lord. It is my intention to never mess up like that again. I say things like, and I, you know, I talk to him about real stuff. Like, God, I'm worried that John Townsend can't be a good Sunday school teacher. You know, just normal whatever stuff. Okay, so, but if you change who you are to pray because there are other people around, then that's not praying. You're just showing off for other people. Let's look at another thing that is not prayer. When you pray, this is verse 7 of Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Now, this is something, look, I'll be honest, this is something I'm fully guilty of. One of the things I like to pray is surrender. I like, Lord, help me to surrender to you. And so, you guys know I'm praying for you. I send you texts and things. When I'm praying, a lot of times, I'll get to a spot where I get to the end of the sentence, and then instead of another thoughtful prayer coming out of me, I just say, and Lord, help them surrender. It's like, it's just a filler space, and I don't mean it. It's just a filler word. And I think that we do that a lot, and I wish I wasn't like this. I wish I wasn't. I wish that my brain could stay focused enough to pray full prayers constantly with full-mindedness, right? But I'm a human, and so I fail. We pray for our kids every night before they go to bed. And like I would say, both of us are probably guilty of this, but there are sometimes you're just like saying a thing so that you can get out of that room. I mean, have you ever put kids to bed? It ain't fun. So sometimes you're just like, because it's just it's a thing that we do. You know, we feel like, and it's important, and it's necessary. And I love my kids, and, you know, whatever, 80% of the time I'm praying, it's a real prayer. But sometimes I'm just being honest. I'm just babbling on. I'm just, okay, bless them, school, and good day tomorrow, and then let me out of this room. And here's another thing, and preachers are guilty of this, right? When we get to the end of a sermon, instead of like a prayer that we're praying, we're just like repeating our whole sermon as this like one last chance to throw it at you before. I'm not going to make eye contact over here. But I know preachers are guilty of this. It's just one more chance to just sort of throw it out there, hoping it might stick because I set it up here and I just want to say it one more time. And so, but that's not prayer. That's not prayer. That's trying to reteach my sermon again. And so I'm guilty of that. I try not to be. And what's weird is, like, you can re-preach your sermon in a prayer and it be prayer. And you can re-preach your sermon in a prayer and it not be prayer. It's a lot of it has to do with where your heart is focused. And so, but when it's all about me or just trying to teach you again, then it's not prayer. It's just me showing off, right? And I don't want to be that way. Okay. Now, so we learned some things that prayer is not. So what, or how about this? When should we be praying? All right. So let's look at another scripture. I believe we're in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet did not sin. So let us boldly come to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So when should we pray? Always. You pair that with 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray always, always. But Lord, I just got mixed up into some sin and how about this? You know what it's like when you get mixed up in some sin. You get mad at your kids. You lose your temper at your boss. You get particularly selfish with your spouse. You two are popping off at each other or whatever, and you're mad. You're mad. You're mad, right? And then you feel guilty. You feel that shame. You know, that's how we are as humans. I'm not the only one. We feel guilty. We feel shame. And we don't want to turn to the Lord. We want to give ourselves some time to forgive ourselves before we turn over to the Lord, before we focus our attention on him. But that's not necessary. We don't have to forgive ourselves in order to turn to him. In fact, he wants you to turn to him now. Like always now. Yeah, but Lord, I just stabbed a guy. Always now. Always now. I was mean to my wife. Always now. Always now. He says, let us. So this is after he talks about sin. The high priest of ours, Jesus, knows and understands our weaknesses. He knows you. He knows that you're a failure. For he faced all the same testings that we did, yet he did not sin. So because he knows your failures, because he didn't sin, so let us boldly come. And that says boldly come. I mean, you don't have to, like, put dirt on your face or, you know, whatever we do now when we feel shame and guilt to try to get out of it. You don't have to do that anymore. You're always welcome at his throne. Always welcome at his throne. Even in the midst of your shame, you're always welcome at his throne. I think that's really good news. I also think it's important because if you turn to him in the midst of your shame, then it sort of gets you used to going back to the Father. Always going back to the Father, even in the midst of your shame. And so then you get used to it. So now you can return to him when you're particularly anxious or being particularly selfish. You just sort of learn how to be better at this thing. All this stuff takes practice. It all takes work, but it's worth it. Now, look. Here's what the Lord's looking for. Progress, not perfection. The Lord is looking for progress, not perfection. You don't have to be perfect to go to him. If you did, it would ruin the whole thing. And you don't have to be perfect, this perfect prayer all the time. You don't have to be like super focused and all that. Like if you're good at 2 minutes of prayer, then tomorrow try 3 minutes of prayer. If you're good at an hour of prayer, then tomorrow try an hour 15 or whatever. If you're good at an hour of prayer, man, good on you for sure. Because it takes mental focus. It absolutely does. It takes heart and mental focus to pray. But God's always just looking for progress. He just wants you to be a little bit better today than you were yesterday. And he's not expecting you to be perfect at this. He knows you're a crummy human. He knows. He's there with you always. He reads your thoughts, right? That's scary to think about. That he reads your thoughts, and he does. And we think some really horrible stuff, and yet he always wants us to return. We're always welcome at his throne. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, I think we'll probably talk about prayer again next week, but so this one was kind of like an overview. I think we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. So I feel like I'm going too fast through this, but anyway, we'll get into it some more next week. Okay, so what kind of things should we pray? Here's a great thing to pray. Scriptures. Just reminding God what he said over whoever you're praying for. Let's look at, how about this? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about, what's the next word? It sure is. Everything. Pray about everything. Well, pray about everything? Yeah, everything. When? Always. Pray about everything always. You see how that works? Put these two scriptures together, and there's never a moment you're not allowed to be praying. Now, obviously, again, progress, not perfection. So, pray about everything. That's one of the things that you should be praying about. Actually, I violated my notes a little bit. And I also think you should be praying your gratefulness. I think, if you want to learn contentment, you want to get over your jealousy of somebody or your frustration or whatever, then start being grateful. Just tell the Lord everything he's done for you. Father, thank you for the skies, the birds and the bees. And, thank you for the worms. Thank you for the grass. Thank you for my car. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my wife and my kids. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the hope that I have in my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Put your gratefulness on display. And then let's pray scriptures. Let's look at it. This is actually something I prayed for somebody this week. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So we had somebody in the church who was going through some stuff, right? Some physically draining stuff. And so they asked me for a particular prayer request. And so this is one of the things that I was praying. Father, help them to put their trust in you so that they can find new strength. God, I pray that they would soar on wings like eagles. I pray that they would run and not grow weary. I pray that they would walk and not faint. Because this is a biblical promise. And so if I'm praying that, then I know I'm praying in the will of God. I know I am because it's right here. And I really believe that because this is a promise, if I'm praying this over these people, that this is going to lift them up. I really genuinely believe that. Let's look at another one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Okay. Pray this over your friends and neighbors. The people, I mentioned before, a lot of you are looking for reconciliation with family members or whatever. Start praying this over them. God, I pray that they would see that they are a new person. Or if they're not a new person, God, I pray that they would come to know you. God, I pray that they would belong to Christ and become a new person. That their old life would be gone and that their new life would come. Pray this over people. If you're praying scriptures over folks, it's God's word coming to real life in your cousin's life, in your daughter's life, in your husband's life, in your whoever it is you're trying to get to love you, begin to pray this scripture over them. It's scripture. It's God's word. Let's look at another one. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And sometimes I pray this one over myself, but I also pray this one over other people. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. You ever get deep in shame? I do. Ever get deep in condemnation where you feel terrible because you've done some bad stuff or whatever? I do. And so I come to the Lord and I say, and I repeat his words to him, Father, I know there is no condemnation to me because I belong in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I'm going to put away my guilt. I'm going to put away my shame. I'm going to trust that you forgive me. And I'm going to move on in my relationship with you. And so, I pray this for other people who I see walking through this same stuff. Father, help them to realize. God, because sometimes this is a brain. You have to decide in your brain first before it can sink into your heart. God, because, forgiving yourself is hard to do, right? We're much, much harder on ourselves than we are on anybody else. We're much, much harder on ourselves than God is, right? We see how crummy and gross we are, right? And so we hammer on ourselves when we're in these ugly situations. And so sometimes I just have to force my mind. I know that I'm forgiven. I know there's no condemnation for me. And so, Father, I return to you. And so I pray this over other people when I see them in shame cycles. Help them, Father, to realize there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no I know they know you. I know they love you. I know they're caught up in shame. Help this to sink into their heart, not just into their mind. Help it to sink all the way in and let them trust you and love you and be surrendered to you completely. We make prayer too hard. We make it like this hard thing, and it's not a hard thing. God loves you enough that he wants you to come to him always. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're not going to do an altar call. What we are going to do this morning is we're going to be quiet for 60 seconds. After I stop talking, I'll watch the timer. And we're going to be quiet for 60 seconds. And here's what I'm challenging you to do. Spend 60 seconds with your full concentration on who God is and what he wants to do in your life and prayers that need to be prayed. 60 seconds is a long time to fully focus unless you're really practiced at this. And so that's it. That's all we're going to do this morning. And then I'll pray and then we'll go from there. So your 60 seconds starts now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, for some of us, that was the first 60 seconds we have spent with you in a very long time. God, I pray that you would touch hearts, speak to us, God, get a hold of us. God, I pray that 60 seconds was just a start of something huge in our lives. God, that we give you another 60 seconds on the way home and another 60 seconds after we get home and another 60 seconds and another 60 seconds until, Father, we're constantly communing with you, that our focus, our attention, our heart is tuned towards you always. God, help us to not make prayer hard, but remember it's just relationship with you. It's just spending time with you. It's just listening for your voice. It's just you. God, you're a good God, and we love you. We give you all of ourselves in Jesus' holy name. Amen.